Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day of the year that we celebrate the coming of God's Holy Spirit. Many call it the birthday of the church. And as we look at that, it's not actually when the church began, because there were followers of Jesus before that, but we call it the birth of the church because we all know that every living thing is not living until life is breathed into it. And in a sense, the church was not a living organism, as it's called, the body of Christ, until life was breathed into it. And that's literally what happened on the day of Pentecost, when God breathed his life into the church. But there are a lot of misunderstandings about Pentecost, and I want to share some of those with you today so that we don't get misled by this doctrine of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit fills people and comes on people, because there is a lot of teaching today that just simply is not correct, biblically speaking. The word Pentecost itself is actually only mentioned three times in the Bible, two times in Acts, and one time Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The word tongues, or speaking in tongues, is only mentioned 27 times in the New Testament. So we have to understand that this is not something that we base every ounce of our Christian faith on. Though the Holy Spirit is God in the Trinity, and I'll talk about that a little more next week on Trinity Sunday, we have to understand that our faith cannot revolve around this understanding of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Okay? The Holy Spirit was poured out on us for the glory of God, not for our good, that God might be glorified and His kingdom might grow. This day of Pentecost, when they were together on the day of Pentecost, was the beginning of the Jewish Feast of Weeks. Pentecost is the Greek word for Feast of Weeks. And it came in the month of Sivan. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. They had come together, if we remember. They were now in Jerusalem. If you read the beginning of Acts, they were in Jerusalem where Jesus had told them to go and stay until this gift that he asked the Father for would come to them. They were there in Jerusalem. They had been upstairs in a room together. Because Judas had lost his life because he turned on the Lord in the last moments, together they proposed someone to fill his place. They prayed together, and the Lord showed them that as the lots fell on Matthias, that he was the one to fill Judas' place. But as they were there in Jerusalem, this day of Pentecost, this Jewish Feast of Weeks came, and pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims from all over, had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. This was a feast to celebrate the wheat harvest. Okay, you can find out about these things back in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. You can also find out about it all the way back in Exodus. You can read about the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, to celebrate the wheat harvest. But while they were there in this room, something happened. They were gathered together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this sound like a violent wind came, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now let's unpack that a little bit. The King James Version words it this way: there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. When we start to see what this really means and the purpose of it, first of all, we have to understand they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Okay, like you see a fire, it's not all one thing. There are little things going off of it. But this word tongues comes from the Greek word glossa, which means language. And fire comes from the Greek word pur, P-U-R, which means lightning, fiery lightning. So There they were on this day, and the sound of the wind came into the room, and all of a sudden, down upon these disciples, these followers of Jesus, came what, in a lightning-like fashion, what seemed to be languages, fiery languages, that came on each one of them. Separated, divided, cloven languages, and sat on each of one of them. And the Holy Spirit filled them as they began to speak in other tongues or languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the Greek text of this, the original Greek it would have been written in, the Holy Spirit was the Hagios Spirit, the sacred, physically pure, morally blameless Spirit, or ghost, as the King James Version calls it. And I don't want to say it's an it, because the Holy Spirit is a He, a person that Jesus promised. When in John chapter 14, when He said, "I'm going away," He said, "I'm going to ask the Father, and He will send you another Counselor. He will teach you all things." The Holy Spirit is clearly a person, biblically, when we look at the Greek and the language and the syntax of all of the New Testament and Jesus' words Himself. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, a He. Not to say that it's masculine, but to say the Holy Spirit has a personality, is a person, the third person of the Trinity. Okay? And this Spirit, whom the King James Version calls ghost, is what's called in the Greek text pneuma, which is a current of air or a breath. So we see that this sacred, physically pure, morally blameless current of air or breath came into these disciples. Now I want to ask you something. In the Jewish understanding, the only thing that was physically pure and morally blameless was God. And that's why this Holy Spirit was understood to be God's Spirit as He breathed into them and enabled them to speak in these other languages. As the Spirit enabled them. They couldn't do this on their own. They could only do it because God was breathing the ability to do it into them. Okay? Now, as I said, there were Jews from all over that had gathered for this festival. And these men were speaking in all these languages because these people that had gathered didn't speak Hebrew. Some of them didn't speak Greek. They didn't speak the same language. These were people that came together that spoke different languages. So how would they have understood if one man speaking in one language stood up there and glorified God? So God saw the opportunity. He breathed His breath into the disciples and gave them the ability to witness to all those that were gathered there in their own language. And it was not some sort of jibber-jabber that everybody didn't understand and they were scared out of their wits, to the point that they never went back. It says they understood them. They understood what these men were saying. And what happened as the men spoke, they were declaring the wonders of God. And the purpose was to draw others to God. The Holy Spirit does not chase people away. The Holy Spirit draws people. Keep that in mind. The Holy Spirit draws people, not chases them away. The purpose was to bring others to the Lord. God had promised He would do this. In fact, Peter stood up when some said that these men were drunk. He said, "They're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. And the reason for that was, is because many of the people that went to the synagogue abstained from eating and drinking until 10 o'clock or even noon. So he said, "No, they haven't been drinking or eating. It's only 9 o'clock. This, what you're seeing," he said to those people, "was exactly what God said would happen through the prophet Joel. Then in the last days, God said, 'I'll pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on My servants, both men and women, I'll pour out My Spirit in those days.'" men and women, sons and daughters, on all God's people. In the prophet Joel, he promised he would do this. God promised, the Spirit enabled, and the believers witnessed. But that wasn't the end of the story. The purpose was, as Luke wrote in verse 21, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The purpose was clear why God did this, to draw others to the Lord, so that everyone who came and believed in the gospel would be saved. The Spirit working in the believers to draw others so that others could call on the name of the Lord and be saved. As you read on the story, Peter gave a great sermon all about Jesus and what he had done. And it tells us later on when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Isn't that exactly what Jesus had been saying in his ministry? Repent and believe. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, there's 8 times in the New Testament it tells us about being filled with the Spirit. Speaking of John the Baptist, through Zechariah, he was told that the son would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary came to her with Jesus in her womb. Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, praised the Lord when John the Baptist was born. And in Acts 2, we see the Holy Spirit filled the believers there. Peter spoke to the rulers and the elders and preached the gospel, filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John, in prayer when they were in prison, prayed. And the place was shaken. And all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In Damascus, Ananias, who was there, spoke to Saul, who was Paul, and said he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul spoke to the sorcerer on the island of Cyprus. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul rebuked the sorcerer. How many times in the New Testament were people filled with the Holy Spirit and never spoke in tongues? Folks, as people of Elamsport United Methodist Church, I love you enough and care about you enough. I don't ever want you to feel ashamed that you have not spoken in tongues. And don't ever let anybody tell you that is the only sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever believe that, because that is not biblical. Jesus, it's never recorded, spoke in tongues. Although the Holy Spirit came on him when he was baptized. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit filled many people. We read about it when it came time to build the tent of meeting in the desert. God put his Spirit in certain men to give them abilities to be able to build the thing. He gave them construction abilities. God gave many people throughout the Old Testament his Spirit, put his Spirit in them, that they might do special things for the glory of God. But God said, there will come a day when I'll pour my Holy Spirit out on all who believe, and they'll do many things for my glory. One of them was speaking in tongues. Paul writes in Romans about the gifts of the Spirit, that people are good givers. They're good teachers. They're prayers. In Galatians, we read about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, peacefulness, and self-control. Right? Patience and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I don't hear speaking in tongues in there anywhere. Do you? Now granted, with all due respect to our Pentecostal friends, we cannot say that this doctrine of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is the core and the foundation of our faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, who came, who died for our sins and rose, and now lives inside us in the Holy Spirit. Because God has breathed his Spirit into all believers. And in each way we have our own special gifts. In each way we speak to the world, sometimes in languages they don't understand, do they? They just can't understand us Christians, why we would do certain things. But we continue to speak. We continue to speak for the glory of God. We continue to use the spiritual gifts that God may be glorified to draw others in that they might also be saved. I want to ask you this morning, what is your spiritual gift? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us that when Paul wrote about the believers there. He says, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption happens. Having believed, we are filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, are we suppressing Him there? Are we holding Him in because we're embarrassed? Or are we just standing up and saying, I'm not drunk, I'm not crazy, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm not drunk on wine. As Paul said, I'm filled with the Spirit. The Spirit controls me. That's why he said that. Do not be filled with wine. Don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, because what happens when you get drunk on alcohol? It's the alcohol controlling you, the wine controlling you. You don't have any proper concept or control. He's saying instead, let the Spirit control you in that way, and that you speak in a certain way. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord and always giving thanks. Man, there's a sign of the Holy Spirit. You want to see someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit someone in the hospital. Visit someone in hospice in the gatehouse that knows they only have so many breaths left. But what can they do? Praise the Lord Almighty God for the hope of what they're going on to. That's a person filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a person glorifying God. That's a person that makes me want to be closer to that God, that when I reach that point in my life, I might be able to have that same hope. What a wonderful gift God's given us, a power, a strength, not a force, not an it, the person of the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. The Counselor, the Advocate, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. What a great day as we celebrate that God has breathed into us life. That we have life now and life everlasting. I challenge you folks, let's stand up as Peter. Let's stand up and raise our voices in the world today and say that God is great and awesome, and that He sent His Son Jesus that He might die for our sins because He loves us. We have a message. We have the power to give it. And we have a God living inside us who blesses it. And He is the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, although sometimes this thought about the Holy Spirit just seems so uncertain to us and sends chills up our backs thinking about it, so much so that sometimes we don't even want to be part of it. We don't want to go near it because it scares us. I pray, God, that You'd remove that fear from us, that we might rejoice that we have a special life breathed into us, the Holy Spirit, Your Spirit, that He might teach us all truth, and that He might give us the strength that we need every day of our lives to witness to the whole world about Your wonders, Your grace, and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close this morning with number 386 as we celebrate. The Comforter has come. 386.